Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is the text from Deuteronomy that was read. And I'd like to begin by sharing with you a really bad idea that I came up with while studying this text. This is the idea. Let's get together and collaborate on the very next Christian-themed self-help book that will likely appeal to Americans. And I imagine a book that will join Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking and Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now. And what we'll do is we'll take the principles of Deuteronomy 30 and simply apply them to life. And here's the title I first thought of. Our book will be called Love God, Choose Life, and Get Rich. That's a little crass, and so maybe love God, choose life, and be blessed. Okay, that would be maybe a better title. And I imagine that if we were to collaborate on this, we would likely get rich. This could become a running bestseller for the Christian community out there. But also, we would likely damn ourselves to hell in the process, because this would be a profoundly unchristian thing to do. And not only that, this book would likely be very faithless to the scriptures. And so I'd like to explain this by making this point right at the very beginning. The text from Deuteronomy 30 that was read does not directly apply to you. It does not directly apply to you. It's not about you. Now, should you love the Lord your God and keep his commandments? Yes. Should you worship the Lord your God and avoid gross idolatry, worshiping other gods? Absolutely yes. But does this mean that when you leave the plains of Moab and enter into the promised land, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you're going to be blessed? Well, no, you're not those people that Moses was talking to. And in a sense, if you know the whole story, you shouldn't want to be. If you want to apply this text to you, here's a likely outcome. Your kingdom will be destroyed, and the Assyrians or the Babylonians will drag you off into captivity. Because that's how the story ends. Moses sets before them those two paths, and as a whole, the nation of Israel, the collective people of God, as strange as it would seem, they chose not life but death, not good but evil, not blessing, but curse. Because throughout their history, they again and again went after those other gods and did not remain faithful to the Lord their God, who delivered them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to that promised land. And so, strangely enough, the very Torah that God intended to be a good thing for his people instead became a curse and a cause of the curse. And from our perspective, looking back at this story, we can actually marvel at this one thing: how, in spite of their repeated faithlessness, it is God who remained faithful to them. Though they broke the covenant, he remained patient, forgiving, restoring them again and again. So that when we come to the end of the story in the book of Nehemiah, we find that once again, some of God's people are back in Jerusalem. They've rebuilt the temple. They have a ceremony where they try to reaffirm the covenant with God. And when the Levites pray in Nehemiah 9, they look back and they acknowledge exactly why death and evil and curse have come upon them. It's because they were faithless, because they broke the covenant, because they did not choose life. And yet, in spite of that, God had remained faithful and gracious to them. And so in their prayer, they confess their sins and then sort of simply leave it up to God. They simply pray that God would consider their plight. And so I'd like to tell you, you're actually blessed to have been called into the story where you were called into the story in the New Age, because now we look back and we see how God answered that prayer. How he sent for his people, his very Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh. And when Jesus identifies with his sinful brothers and sisters by accepting the baptism of John, a baptism he didn't need, but that he accepted anyway, we see that he came to be a friend of sinners. In fact, we see him call sinners, eat and drink with his sinful fellow Israelites. We see him touching the unclean. We see him proclaiming the good news to captives and to sinners. And we finally see, strangely enough, that he redeems them from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for them. For that same book of Deuteronomy also says, "Cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree." And Jesus' ministry led him to that tree, where he became a curse. And then when our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we know now that he has abolished that curse. And now for you who are called to faith in Jesus, that curse no longer touches you. Jesus has redeemed you from the curse by becoming a curse. And so now where we are called into the story, we're looking at he who knew no sin, but became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And this is a blessed life. When our Lord calls us, we actually hear words kind of different than what was said in Deuteronomy 30. He tells you, if you would come after me, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it for eternal life. This is now the calling that we receive. And do we acknowledge that God our Father is the source of every material blessing we have? Yes. But even more, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has made us his righteousness, his people. And he has called us to this blessed life, to follow our Lord who has redeemed us. Now may God our Father keep you steadfast in this faith and in this life, both now and unto life everlasting. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.